الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Our talks continue, and our talk continues tonight about the great events of the Day of Judgment. So far we've discussed from the beginning of Surah Al-Takwir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began the surah, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ. You know, these are massive events that are happening. When the sun is wrapped up, its light is wrapped up, and it loses its light, it becomes dark, and it's thrown away in the sea. إذا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began the surah, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ then وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ انْكَدَرَتْ. The stars, they lose their light as well, they become dull and stale in color, and they fall. وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ انْكَدَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ. Then we spoke about the mountains, and how the mountains, they start moving and they float. This is all happening on the Day of Judgment. وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ. And when the 10-month pregnant she camel is left useless, it's left abandoned, there's no more use for it, it doesn't equal to anything anymore on this day. People abandon it. وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the wild beasts when they're gathered. And normally in this world they're not gathered, but because of the terror on that day they gather. وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ. And when the oceans, سُجِّرَتْ. And we said سُجِّرَتْ has two meanings. Either it can refer to that the oceans themselves, they boil with heat, into boil, and then they spill out of their places, and the oceans become one ocean. And the other meaning, wallahu a'lam, and it's more correct, is that سُجِّرَتْ means that the oceans become a fuel for the fire. And so the oceans become blazing. They become as a blazing fire. And so subhanAllah, thus far, we've seen the total reversal pattern. We've seen the total reversal of the world's natural, normal pattern. So when we said, الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ, we know that the sun gives light. But on that day, the pattern is reversed. It becomes dark. So it's turned off. And the stars, which give light as well, and they're standing still in their position, on that day, the pattern gets reversed. So the total opposite happens. There too, they're turned off, and they drop from where they are. Also the sun drops. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ. This creation, this enormous creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mountains, that are the most solid creation of Allah, that are pegged straight into this earth, you can't even move. On that day, this most solid creation becomes the very weakest of creation. As a matter of fact, it's floating. Becomes like a mirage. فَكَانَتْ سَرَابًا, as Allah said. Look at the reverse. You can appreciate this reverse in the ayat, how one by one comes. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ. What's the reverse with this? Well, today, or in the Arabs' time, people would value the 10-month pregnant camel. We discussed this. So a 10-month pregnant camel, it's not something that's seen wandering around and just let loose. A camel, something like this, you'll find fenced, you'll find security around it, perhaps a rope on its neck, you know, it's been taken care of. But on this day, the total opposite is happening. This camel that was once in security, now it's wandering, it's left wandering, there's no use to it anymore. وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ, there's the reverse. وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ, and then Allah tells us about the wild beasts, and they gather. And we know in this world that wild beasts, well, he was called a wahsh, because he walks alone. He doesn't get along with other animals. So their nature, by nature, they don't get along with each other. But on that day, there's a reverse. حُشِرَتْ, now they're gathered together. وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ, and the water is actually used to extinguish fire. But on that day, this pattern is reversed. The water, the ocean, now becomes a fuel for the fire. And eventually becomes all on fire. And eventually, it becomes a drop in Jahannam. A drop in Jahannam. And we explained that some of the scholars had the opinion, held the opinion that Jahannam is actually below the water, below the oceans. So that's why some of them wouldn't take a sea voyage because of this idea. And we said two ayat were dedicated for the sky. إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ إِذَا النُّجُومُ انْكَدَرَتْ. That's referring to the 2 days of creation of the sky. And then four ayat were dedicated for the land. And that refers to the 4 days that Allah Azza wa Jal created the earth in. 4 days Allah created the earth in, and then He rolled out the oceans and the mountains and the grazing land and so on. So, and by the way, all these ayat are the condition part. This is all the condition. What do we mean by this? Each and every single ayah so far we're reading begins with إِذَا. وَإِذَا, وَإِذَا, وَإِذَا. And what did we say إِذَا means? When. It means when. So the sentence hasn't completed yet. You know, when I say, when I get to the house, when I get to my house, you're expecting to hear the conclusive statement, the conclusion. What are you going to do when you get to your house? So it builds suspense. You're now eager to listen to what the result is. So each and every single ayah so far is only the first part of the sentence. When, and when this happens, and when this happens, and when the stars, and when the mountains, and when the Isha. Where's the conclusion? It's going to come. Perhaps inshallah we'll conclude with it, our lesson inshallah. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the issue of the human. So far all the wa'idha we recited, all these events of the Day of Judgment, either spoke about the creation of Allah, the big humongous creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then it spoke about the animals, two ayat for the animals. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the issue of the human. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ. And when the people, when the persons, the people, they زُوِّجَتْ. Now, النُّفُوس is the plural of nafs. And nafs in the Arabic language has two plurals. There's anfus and there's nufus. Anfus is the smaller plural. And nufus is the greater plural. You know, this is very important to understand so you can understand who Allah is referring to when He says an-nufus. So just like we explained before about bihar and abhur, Allah said, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارِ. Didn't say al-abhur. So al-bihar was the greater plural that meant all the oceans. So here Allah says, وَإِذَا النُّفُوس. Not وَإِذَا الْأَنْفُوس. So we already understand Allah is speaking about each and every single one of us. Every single human He's speaking about in this ayah. What happens to them on that day? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ. Every single person, every individual, all of them, زُوِّجَتْ. And زُوِّجَتْ means when things are paired with each other, when things are paired together. At-tazwij it comes from, زَوَّجَ. زَوَّجَ literally means to pair something to something else. So for example, when the father is marrying off his daughter, he'll say, زَوَّجْتُكْ. I've married you off, I've paired you off with this man. That's what tazwij means. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that on that day, all the people will be paired. And Umar radiallahu anhu interprets this ayah and he says beautifully, this means that the people who did good will be paired with those who did good in paradise. And the people who did evil will be paired with those who did evil in the hellfire. Al-Imam al-Raghib, rahimahullah ta'ala, he's got three opinions in regards to this ayah. He said that the first opinion is And that is the same as Umar radiallahu anhu. He said, when an-nufus will be paired with their own type. So the good with the good, the evil with the evil, the Muslim with the Muslim, the Christian with the Christian, the Jew with the Jew, and so on. Everyone will be sects and groups. Everyone will be paired with his group. The second opinion he carried was that an-nufusu zuwijat means that the soul will be paired with its body. Because you know, when you die, what happens? Your soul departs from your body. So now you've become two separate things. And eventually this soul ends up in the trumpet. And in the second blow of the trumpet, your soul will be in that trumpet. When the angel blows the second blow in the trumpet, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each and every single soul will come out of this and will pair itself with your body. It'll find you and it will pair itself with your body. So now you become who you are again and you come up. This is another opinion of وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ. And the third opinion of وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ, he said that the people, an-nufus, the people, they'll be paired with their own deeds. So each and every single one of you will see their good and their bad. And this will come later on in the ayat. But you know what's interesting, as I've told you a long time before, the Qur'an, there is no contradiction between the opinions. When you hear of opinions, the first thing you have to do is you have to think, how do these opinions all add up together? And they don't go against one another. You know, just like I told you about An-Naba Al-Azim, who can remind us what An-Naba, what were the three opinions in An-Naba? Yalla.
The Risala.
Huh?
The Risala.
Which is the Qur'an? What else?
The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Day of Judgment.
The Day of Judgment and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So these three things seem a bit contradictory if one was to look at them. The Prophet, the Qur'an, and the Day of Judgment. And we said all these get together. Because if you believe in one, you have to believe in the other two. And if you deny one, then you have to automatically deny the other two. So they came all complementary to each other. They complement each other. Now, in this case here, these three opinions are actually three stages. So وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ means when the soul is paired with your body. Then you get up and you're paired with a group, and when you're paired with a group, you're paired with your deeds. Three opinions, but rather they're three stages. This is how, subhanAllah, the Qur'an is understood. No opinion goes against another opinion. Rather, they all come together to give us the perfect meaning. So then, the most closest, wallahu a'lam, now, there is a close opinion. We shared the three stages, but this ayah directly, it is pointing to one of these three opinions. And this one of the three opinions, it's actually pointing to qawl Umar radiallahu anhu, the saying of Umar. Why? Because we find this somewhere else in the Qur'an. In Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُنْتُمْ أَزْوَاجًا ثَلَاثًا. On that day, you'll be paired up in three large groups. أَزْوَاجًا ثَلَاثًا. What are these three large groups? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they're أَصْحَابُ الْيَمِينَ, the people of the right, meaning the people of the paradise. That's one group. And he says, أَصْحَابُ الشِّمَانِ, that's another group, which are the people of the left, that is the people of the hellfire. And the third group is as-sabiquna as-sabiqun, those that rush in doing good, yani the most pious, which eventually, of course, they're the people of the paradise. So, according to, yani when you study the Qur'an, and the Qur'an obviously interprets one ayah of the other ayah, that's the Qur'an, we find that this is the most correct opinion in the context. So, وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ. Now, let me give you a little discussion about the word an-nufus. A common translation for an-nafs is what? The soul. That's a common translation. But this translation, it lacks a little bit. Now, this word nafs, nufus, It has many derivatives in the Arabic language. So for example, you have the word anfas. Anfas means what? Breaths. To inhale, to exhale, to breathe. That'll come later on in the surah, وَالصُّبْحِ إِذَا تَنَفَّسْ. You know, when the morning gets a chance to breathe. We'll speak about that later on, inshallah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالصُّبْحِ إِذَا تَنَفَّسْ. And the tanaffus means breathing. Means breathing. Now there's another derivative of noon, fa'sin, nafs, which is at-tanafus, munafasa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. And at-tanafus basically means to compete with each other. To compete with each other. You know, in the spirit of healthy competition. So this is, tanafus is not a competition against each other. It's actually in the healthy spirit, with each other, one another. So that'll be like a friendly race or a Quran competition and so on. That's tanafus. Now, all these words, all these derivatives have something in common. Tanafas, munafasa, anfas, all these words have something in common. And that is the idea of back and forth. So tanafas, to breathe, this got the idea of something back and forth. Inhale, exhale. Inhale, exhale. At-tanafus, the competition, also has got the idea of back and forth. You give and take and give and take and so on. Ask a question, he answers. That's the competition. Now, what's all this got to do with an-nafs that we commonly translate as a soul? Well, the soul is something that goes back and forth. So one time you'll be in a sin, the other time you'll come and repent from the sin, then you'll fall back into a desire which will lead you to another sin, then you'll relax, you'll repent, then you'll go back into a sin, then you'll become have like a nafs al-mutma'inna, then a nafs al-lawwama, nafs al-ammara bis-su', the three stages of the souls that Allah Azza wa Jal records in the Quran. So this is why the soul was called a nafs. Because it's got this idea of back and forth. It's not stable on its iman. It increases and it decreases according to the action it does. And so Allah Azza wa Jal is saying that all these nufus will be paired together on the Day of Judgment. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to pair us with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, moving on, and probably this is the most scariest ayah that comes when it describes Yawm al-Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ. First we're going to explain this ayah, and then I'm going to share with you how it's not limited to its meaning. So you read وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ. The common translation is, and when the female infant buried alive will be or shall be questioned on that day. And you move on. We'll stop and we'll mention what we can learn from this ayah and how serious and how scary this ayah is. Really, really scary, tough ayah. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ. Al-Maw'udah comes from the word وَأَدَ يَعُودُ وَأْدَ. And al-wa'du is heaviness. Something that's heavy. Weight that's heavy. That's wa'd. And this word comes again in the Quran in a very famous ayah we all know. Who can tell me where? We all know. The derivative, the same word, comes in another surah, in another ayah we all know. Yalla. Who can think? Quick. وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا. نعم, آيات الكرسي. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا. Allah is saying that His kursi, it extends between the heavens and the earth. Then He says, وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا. It is not heavy upon Allah Azza wa Jal that He guards the heavens and the earth. That's Ya'ud. وَلَا يَعُودُهُ means لَا يُثْقِلُهُ. It is not, it doesn't burden him. It doesn't make him tired. It's not heavy of a responsibility upon Allah Azza wa Jal that he guards the heavens and the earth. So the word Ya'ud comes because that's what it means. Now, Al-Maw'uda is the baby girl that's buried alive. She was called Maw'uda. You know why? Because when they would dig the hole and put her in and then return the dirt back on her, this dirt becomes heavy upon her, so she dies. So she was called Al-Maw'uda because the dirt becomes heavy. And as a result, she can't breathe. She's actually crushed with the dirt, which becomes actually heavy upon her. As a result, she's dead. So she's called Al-Maw'uda. Al-Maw'uda, the marbuta at the end, signifies that this is speaking about the female. Now Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he reports a hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-Wa'idatu wal-Maw'udatu laha fil-Nar. Translating as, that the one who went to bury that daughter, that child, and the father who gave the command that she shall be buried, both of them are in the fire. This is what Allah subhanahu, that's what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith. Now Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says that when a woman in the Arab times, before Islam, when she was about to give birth, it would be an ugly event. The pregnant woman, she would go to a far place where a ditch is being dug in the earth. A ditch is dug in the ground. She'll go to a far place up until she gets to this ditch that's being dug in the ground. She'll give birth right there. If it's a boy, she'll turn back and go home. And that's considered as a pride for the tribe. An honor for the tribe. And if she gives birth and it's a girl, then they'll deal with her right there and then in the ditch. Throw it in and close upon it and walk away as if nothing happened. This is before Islam. Now, why would they do this to this girl? What's the reason? The reason with the Arabs was that this, when a woman would give birth to a girl, it would question their manhood. You know, you're not a man enough. That's why you got a girl, you're not a man enough. So it's an embarrassment. He's got to get rid of this somehow. And the only way to get rid of it is to bury it. So they'd get rid of it. Another reason why they do this, because if this girl was given the chance to grow up, maybe she gets married into another tribe. And that would be a humiliation for the tribe that gave birth to this girl. You know, this is the mindset of the disbelievers. This was the mindset of kufr before Islam. And sadly, some of this remnants exists up until this day in the Muslim world. You know, when you have a brother that his wife gives birth to a girl, oh, inshallah next time. What do you mean inshallah next time? Yani, inshallah next time Allah gives you a boy. Subhanallah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he guaranteed the one that can righteously upbring three girls, he guaranteed him paradise. And Rasulullah didn't guarantee the one that gives birth to three boys and gives them a righteous upbringing paradise. He wasn't guaranteed paradise. So subhanallah, this inshallah should be in the sense of inshallah two more. That's how it should be in this sense. For it is a sick mentality to have, to feel embarrassed about a daughter, about a girl. And it is also a sick mentality to think that the boy is the pride and he is the honor. And even if you study Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's history and his seerah, you'll find that Allah Azza wa Jal, he blessed him with daughters and sons. But his sons never lived to puberty and to old age. And subhanAllah, this had a profound benefit in. And that was that the Arabs used to have the idea of, this is my son, he's going to hold my name after me. He's going to lift my name after me. Yeah, he's going to take over. And he's going to keep my name alive. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He doesn't give Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sons that live to old age and live to puberty. Why? So He can prove to the disbelievers that Rasulullah doesn't need a son to hold Islam. And he doesn't need a son to hold Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name. No, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his name is lifted up until today. He's lifted up until today amongst the Muslims, through his companions, through the pious predecessors, through everyone that heard about his history. He didn't require sons like the Arabs used to have in their thought. I need my son to bring my name up and lift my name up. This is all ignorance. This has all got nothing to do with Islam. If you're honored, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors your position. You don't need your son to come and honor you after your death. Allah does that. The child is no means whatsoever. So this is one of the wisdom why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never had sons that went through puberty and old age. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this maw'udah, wa'idha al-maw'udah, on that day, su'ilat. She'll be asked. She, the innocent one, will be asked why she was killed, why she was buried. Now, you know, in a court, the criminal is asked first. Not the victim. The criminal is asked first. But as we kept continuing along with the theme of this surah, we said that the theme is the reversal pattern. So Allah reverses this pattern as well on that day. So Allah Azza wa Jalla's court is different to today's court. Here, the criminal is asked first. On that day, the victim is asked first. And Ma'uda, the one that was killed, she is asked first. And this happens as an attack on Quraysh. And this is an attack on the disbelievers and on Quraysh and on everyone that oppresses the other in many ways. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by questioning the victim first. The one who was innocent, the one that was oppressed. He begins with her first. Why? Because who was in charge of her when she was born? Her father. And can anybody question the father? Can she complain to anyone? Does she have the power to speak? Can she defend herself? No, she can't. Nobody is there to hear her cry, to hear her voice. And the father's the one that has the complete control over her. So now on that day, on the day of judgment, the authority is flipped. Allah Azza wa Jal gives her the voice. And He gives her the authority. And the one who didn't have a voice, and the one who didn't have any power in this world, the one that was oppressed, he'll be given the right to speak first on that day. And this is a powerful lesson that's learnt in the Quran. The first thing that will happen on the day of judgment is that the people who didn't have a voice in this world, the ones that were oppressed, the innocent, the people who couldn't speak for themselves, the ones who would cry and cry over and over, and no one would hear their cries, they're the first ones that will be asked on the day of judgment. And Al-Raghib al-Asfahani rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that these people who desperately waited for justice so long, that they're the first to be dealt with, they're the ones that will be given the green light to go ahead and speak. And when all this chaos on the day of judgment settles down, they're the first people to be asked. What is the crime? What was your crime for being killed, for being oppressed? And as I told you, don't understand this in the sense of only al-mawuda. This is for every single person, anywhere, at any time, that is oppressed. So what happens in Syria? What happens in Burma? What happens in Egypt? What happens in Palestine? In all these countries, that war goes on. The oppressed, the ones that are gassed innocently, the ones that are killed and buried, no one knows about them. The woman that cries and screams, and the sisters that cry and scream and rape and no one hears them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears them. And Allah records this. And on that day, they want to release this frustration, Allah allows them to speak first. So be careful on oppressing one another. You oppress someone, yawm al-qiyamah, you come, your mouth is quiet. Your mouth is shut. You're not able to speak nothing. You thought you had power. You thought you had authority. And you used it and you abused it. And you thought you get away with it. Well, yawm al-qiyamah, that's the real day that counts. This day doesn't count. On that day, you cannot even make a case for yourself. The case is being made against you. And subhanAllah, this is a very interesting saying. I told you at the beginning that this is a direct attack against Quraysh and against the disbelievers and against the oppressors. And we understand this attack through Al-Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah. He comments something beautifully. He says, by asking her and not the killer, it illustrates the extent of Allah Azza wa Jal's anger towards her killer, that he doesn't even deserve being spoken to. So in order to punish him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows the victim to speak whatever you want, then Allah executes the punishment against the kafir. For this just goes on to show us and illustrates and depicts the extent of Allah Azza wa Jal's anger with these people. And this is a style that happens in the Quran at the people which Allah Azza wa Jal is extremely angry at. So for example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the Christians who said, اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهُ, the Christians that say Allah Azza wa Jal has taken a son for himself. On that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't question the Christians. He doesn't scold them and yell at them. No. What do we find in the Quran? A discussion and a dialogue that takes place between who and who? Between Allah and Isa alayhi salam. أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَهَيْنِ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Oh Isa, did you tell the people to worship you and your mother alongside or beside Allah Azza wa Jal? Now, Allah is not angry with Isa, but they do not deserve being spoken to. So Allah addresses Isa alayhi salam. And that's why Allah addresses this question and he asks this question to Isa. Because the one that fell in that crime doesn't deserve to be spoken to, and that illustrates how much Allah Azza wa Jalla is angry with them, doesn't even look at them, doesn't even question them. This is the punishment of the one that oppresses the other. Allah's anger becomes upon him. And if Allah's anger is upon you, who's going to help you? No one. You be careful. If you've oppressed someone, wallah, even if it's a dollar you oppressed him with. If it's a dollar, if you oppressed him with one word, then go and seek repentance and ask him for forgiveness. Because he is nothing. On that day is where it really counts. That's when you'll see what you did. The ayat are coming. The verses are coming to explain to us exactly how this crime is dealt with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as we said, this is an illustration of Allah Azza wa Jal's anger upon the disbelievers, upon the criminals. Now if you look in the previous surah, some things in that surah were left general. Surah Abasa, you know, I told you Surah Abasa and Takwir, they come together. Yani if you read Surah Abasa, you have to read Surah Takwir to understand it. So things in Surah Abasa came very general. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know when he said, قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانِ مَا أَكْفَرَهُ, may the human be cursed, may he be destroyed. How amazing is disbelief. That was left general. Here in this surah, it's explained. And what is this explanation? Truly, how amazing is disbelief? It is so amazing that he'll go to the extent of burying his own daughter. You see, ma akfara? That's the explanation of ma akfara. He's willing to cross all the boundaries And his own daughter, he's willing to put her in that hole and close upon her the door. The door. Ma'ak, father. Subhanallah, the two surah come together, complementary to one another. Now, the ulama have stated that the root of all good is at-tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the evil of all, the root of all evil is kufr and shirk. When you have kufr and shirk in your heart, do whatever you want. Because that's the root of all evil. If you have that in your heart, nas'al Allah as-salamata wal-afiyah, then this is what you fall into. You will do crazy things. You'll do things ma akfara, things that are amazing. So much so that it takes Qur'an to say ma akfara. It takes for Qur'an to say how amazing is disbelief. And every single good that's done is a result of tawheed. So qutil al-insan, may the human be destroyed. Why? Because look at the extent of his kufr. He buries his own daughter alive. Now something very interesting I want to bring to your attention in this. You know, in the previous surah, Surah Abasa, towards the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that on that day, the human will run away with terror in his heart. He's terrified from who? From his brother. مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. He said at the end that man, and keep in mind that Surah Abasa, the target audience was who? Was Quraysh, was the disbelievers. So Allah ended that, he said, وَبَنِيهِ. He'll run away from his son. You see the irony? The son was the most precious thing with the Arab. And he runs away from the most precious thing. He used to see himself with his son. Now he's trying to cover his face away from his son. Surah Abasa, it was directed to the kuffar. And the kuffar, they loved their sons. They loved the boys. And the love of the boys is also illustrated in Surah At-Takwir by his embarrassment over his daughters when he gets rid of his daughter. Because he gets rid of his daughter, we already understood he loves his son. Now, last time I told you that there are two pregnancies mentioned in this surah. Listen, this is phenomenal. Two pregnancies mentioned in this surah. Allah mentioned Al-Ishar, the 10-month pregnant she-camel, right? And the other pregnancy was Al-Mawuda, the woman that gives birth to the daughter, and then as a result, they bury her alive. Of these two pregnancies, I'm going to ask a question. A decent human being will value, will have more value to which one? To the daughter or to the she-camel? To the daughter. A normal human, if you put these two pregnancies next to each other, the decent human will have more value, obviously, to the human being, to the daughter. But look at how horrible these kuffar have become. They will honor and they love the she-camel, the girl, the she-camel, more than they love their daughter, more than the daughter themselves. Subhanallah. See the contradiction? When it comes to the she-camel, they'll take pride in it. They will honor it because it's a female. It has to be the female camel. They like it more than the male. Why? Because it's the one that's going to give birth. The female is the one that gets pregnant and is going to give birth to more camels. And the more camels, the more wealth, the more benefits. So they would love the female camel, especially the pregnant one, because it's about to give birth. So now double the camels, double the benefits. Subhanallah. The more camels they had, the more wealth, the more respect in the sight of the people. So this is a total contrast in the mentality of the kafir. This is what happens to a society before Islam or with no Islam. People that don't have Islam, a society that doesn't have Islam, they will honor an animal more than they honor their own daughters. We're not talking about the daughters, you're talking about your own daughter. He'd prefer a camel upon his own daughter. Subhanallah. This is kufr. This is ma akfara. How amazing is this? Subhanallah, the surah in the Quran come يعني, to explain one another. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. The question that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks this ma'uda, the oppressed, is for what crime was she killed? بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. The word ذَنْب comes from the word ذَنَب. And ذَنَب is the tail of the animal, you know, which is the smallest part of the animal, his tail. And what that actually means, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ, the word ذَنْب is used for the smallest, minutest mistake someone does. For example, a fine for parking illegally will be considered as a ذَنْب. And so you have ذَنْب, سَيِّئَة, خَطِيئَة, كَبِيرَة. The smallest of the mistakes is ذَنْب. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask her, for what smallest, minutest crime did you ever commit so they can kill you? Nothing. This ayah proves the innocence of the one that was oppressed. It proves the innocence. So much so that Allah, if there was something smaller than ذَنْب, it would have been mentioned. But ذَنْب is the smallest mistake you can make. So بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. Sometimes in the Quran, ذَنْب could be mentioned for larger mistakes, for bigger mistakes, but that in its own context. Rather, in this context, ذَنْب is referring to the smallest, minutest of mistakes. So can you find even the smallest crime for why this girl was killed? Subhanallah, you know, when they used to bury the girl alive, nobody would care about this murder. No consequences. That was culture. You'd kill and just walk away. But if a man was killed at that time from another tribe, they'll make a big deal about it. Let's go find the criminal and who killed who, and let's bring him to justice. But if it was the girl, then that's just culture. No one will stop you for this. No one will talk to you about this. So to them, Quraysh, no one will hold anything against them. It will just go by as if nothing happened. No court, no police officer would record this crime. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them of a very dangerous fact. You thought no one recorded it here? What's the ayah that comes after this? وَإِذَا الصُّحُفُ نُشِرَتْ. You thought no one recorded? الصُّحُف recorded. So Allah Azza wa Jalla brings this ayah. This is the connection between this ayah and this. وَإِذَا الصُّحُفُ نُشِرَتْ. And when the written pages, the scrolls, your books left and right, when these books are suhuf, nushirat, the books that have every single thing recorded in, good and bad, they shall be nushirat, laid out and spread out and open. You know, even nushirat, we read in Surah Abasa, ثُمَّ إِذَا شَاءَ أَنْشَرَحْ. There أَنْشَرَحْ means he brings him back to life. So nushirat also gives the meaning of brought back to life. So Allah is saying on that day, and when, we're still in the when part, and when the scrolls, the records are brought to life and they're laid and spread open. And this also illustrates the fact that they're closed. You know, إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانِ طُوِيَتْ صَحِيفَةُ عَمَلِي وَإِذَا نُشِرَ الْإِنسَانِ نُشِرَتْ صَحِيفَةُ عَمَلِي. When you die, the record is closed. It's closed. And when you're resurrected, the record is opened up again. فَوَإِذَا الصُّحُفُ نُشِرَتْ. Now, الصُّحُف, subhanAllah, look at this connection as well between Surah Abasa and this surah. An amazing connection. Now, the word صُحُف came in the previous surah. Who can remind us very quickly? The word صُحُف came in the previous surah. Yo. You should have the surah memorized. في صحف مكرمة. And there صحف was referring to what? Was referring to the wahi. Was referring to the Qur'an. And صحف here are referring to what? To your books, to your records. SubhanAllah, look at this understanding. If you don't take care of that صحف in Surah Abasa, you're going to destroy this صحف in Surah Al-Takwir. Those صحف that were mentioned in Surah Abasa came down only to fix these suhuf that are in Surah Al-Takwir. A suhuf, the Qur'an, the revelation, was only sent down so you fix this suhuf that later on are going to be open and laid out in front of you. There's the complementary again between Surah Abasa and Surah Al-Takwir. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions after this ayah, وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ كُشِطَتْ. This is also an interesting ayah because as-sama', it goes through stages. Kushitat, and fatarat, and shaqqat, and so on. As we get to their places in Surah, in Juz' Amma, we'll explain them in thorough meaning, inshallah. But for now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when the sama' kushitat. Now, as-sama' is anything that's above. And literally that's what it means. Sama', it is everything that's above. Right? Like when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً, and we sent from the sama' water. Now this rain obviously comes from the cloud, in another ayah that's explained. So sama' tells you, gives you the meaning of above. And the clouds are above. So this is sama' comes from the word sama' yasmu, which means highness, something that's above. So Allah says, وَإِذَا السَّمَاءِ. Now in this meaning, it means the literal sama', the actual sama', the sky that we know of. Allah says, and when this sama' kushitat. Kushitat is an interesting word. And it means to peel, something that's peeled. So for example, you'd say, kashat al-ba'ir. He skinned the camel. You slaughter the camel, and then to skin it, that's called kashat al-ba'ir. And similarly, if any of you have been to Saudi or the Arab lands, if you buy a recharge card for the mobile, it'll say ukshutuna. You know, peel this, scratch it. Scratch it, that's in the old system. You scratch, so you can get the pin and fill credit in your phone. So they say ukshut, scratch here. That's what it means, kash. Also, al-kashab is the butcher. He was called kashab, why? Because the first thing he does when the animal is brought to him, he skins it. Now, if you understand this ayah literally, then it gives us the sense of that there seems to be something in the sky that on the Day of Judgment it's peeled off. But it's more appropriate to understand this ayah in the imagery sense. SubhanAllah, listen to this. You know, there's an ayah in the Quran that tells us and describes the color of the heavens. And that is in Surah Ar-Rahman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says on that day, فَكَانَتْ وَرْدَةً كَدِّهَانْ شَقَّتِ السَّمَاءِ فَكَانَتْ وَرْدَةً كَدِّهَانْ. The earth will split on that day and it will be bright red in color like a rose. وَرْدَةً كَدِّهَانْ. Like a painted rose, like a red, fully red. Now, when you skin the animal, what do you see? Red. When you skin an animal, the only thing that's apparent now is the flesh, the blood, the meat, which is all red. So the idea, وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ كُشِطَتْ, means it's going to become red. It becomes red. And this is powerful. To understand why make such a deal? How do we understand that the sky becomes red? You know, the sky now is what? It's blue. It's blue. And the sky represents the what's on earth. That's what the sky represents, what's on earth. And what's on earth right now, most of it is the ocean. The ocean is blue, so it reflects the blue color. Also reflects the calm nature of earth up until now. Calm in the sense of the events that happen on the Day of Judgment. But on that day, there's chaos. The ocean on that day becomes what? Fire. So this fire is now reflected on the sky. So the sky becomes kushibat, which gave us the meaning of bright red. SubhanAllah. This is the understanding of the ayah, وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ كُشِطَتْ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَإِذَا الْجَحِيمُ سُعِّرَتْ. And when al-jahim, And al-jahim comes from the word jaham. And jahim means the fire. And we know the fire has many other names. An-nar, jahannam, jahim. So what does jahim really mean? Jahim comes from the verb jahama. And jahama is the verb, or it's the emotion, that the animal, that the lion, the starving lion, when he stares at you, that's jaham. He says jahaman al-asad. When a starving lion is staring at you. Obviously, if he's staring at you, and this is a hungry lion, he's coming to attack. So Allah called Jahannam, He gave it this name, Al-Jahim, because it stares in rage at the disbelievers, and it is ready to attack. We already explained this in Surah An-Naba and Surah An-Nazi'at when it came with us. So this is why it was called Al-Jahim, because it actually stares at the ones that it's going to take hold of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا الْجَحِيمُ سُعِرَتْ. And when the hellfire, سُعِرَتْ. سُعِرَتْ means when it's set ablaze. But what does this blaze actually mean here? سُعِرَتْ basically means a blaze that becomes like a tower, really, really, really high. You put things in the fire, and the more you put, the more it makes it go higher and higher and higher. So I'm sure you've seen flames that are really, really high. This is سُعِرَتْ. This verb su'irat is used for a towering flame, a towering fire that goes real, real high. And on that day of judgment, this jahim, it sets ablaze and it rises, rises, rises so high that the sky becomes affected, and that's why it begins to peel off. Sama'u kushidat, it peels. You know when you have something hot against something, it starts peeling. It starts peeling. Put your hand above the fire. You eventually see that your skin burns, and then in days it starts peeling off. So this su'irat gave us the idea of a towering fire, a towering flame, and now we can understand why the sama' is kushidat, it's peeling off. Because the fire, that's how high it's reached. This is Jahannam. This is Jahannam. That's how high it's reached, because it's Allah Azza wa Jalla has set it ablaze. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also this gives us the idea that Jahannam is already ready. But on that day it just sparks more. But it's already ready from now. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us opposite to this. And before I give you opposite to this, I told you in Surah Abasa, at the end of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described two faces. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُصْفِرَةٌ ضَاحِكَةٌ مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ وَوُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَلَيْهَا غَبَرَةٌ تَرْهَقُهَا قَتَرَةٌ. One face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described, He said, عَلَيْهَا غَبَرَةٌ, it's covered with dust. Then He said, تَرْهَقُهَا قَتَرَةٌ. What's qatara? Smoke. We said qatara is the black smoke that comes from the barbecue or when you burn wood. And this smoke climbs the face of the disbeliever. Now this surah, it explains to us where this smoke is coming from. Where is it coming from? It's coming from al-jahim wa su'irat. Jahannam is in front of them. They've seen Jahannam. Now they're depressed. And now their face has become covered with dust and has become covered with black thick smoke. Because Jahannam is in front of you. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا الْجَنَّةُ أُزْلِفَتْ. Such a beautiful word, أُزْلِفَتْ. Allah says, and when the paradise shall be brought near. Now, al-jannah is the common word that's used for the paradise. And this word has a lot of derivatives. Al-jannah comes from the word jann. Jim noon. So you can understand this. Jim noon. Has a lot of derivatives. Like you have the word al-jannah, you have jinn, you have majnoon, you have janin. All these words have one thing in common. They all come from jim noon. And jann has the meaning of something hidden. So when you say al-jannah, it was called al-jannah because it's hidden from our sight. Al-jinn were called jinn because they're hidden from our sight. Similarly, Janin, which is the fetus, he's called Janin because he is also hidden from our sight. He's in the womb. Al-Majnoon was called Majnoon because he's also hidden from the reality. He can't see right now, up until he gets better. So he was called Majnoon. So that's where Al-Jannah got its name from. He got its name from that something Jannah called Jannah because it's hidden. And another meaning of Jannah comes in the meaning of plentiness. So it was called Jannah because there's plenty of trees in it. There's lush gardens. We explained in the Muttaqeen al-Mafazat, Hada'iqa wa a'naba, gardens and gardens. Lush green. So much so that when you go in between, you're hidden. You easily hide in between these plentiness of yani greenery, of trees, of bushland in this paradise. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Uzlifat. Uzlifat means, this comes in the passive form, and it means something that's brought near. Now this illustrates two things first. The first thing it illustrates that the paradise exists. Because Uzlifat, on that day it's brought near. So it's already existing. All it is on that day, it's just brought near to the believers. And in the previous surah, what was the type of face, the second type of face? وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُسْفِرَةٌ. Faces will be uncovered. What's uncovered? And what shows? ضَاحِكَةٌ. They'll be laughing, not smiling. مُبْتَسِمَة is smiling. Laughing is they're cracking up. Laughing with noise, with sound. مُسْتَبْشِرَة. And it's happy because of the good news that it has received. Why is it laughing? Why is it happy? Why? وَإِذَا الْجَنَّةُ أُزْلِفَةٌ. Because the paradise has been brought near. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us people of the paradise. So subhanAllah, وَإِذَا الْجَحِيمُ سُعِرَتْ وَإِذَا الْجَنَّةُ أُزْلِفَةٌ gave us the reason why two faces are being what they were described in Surah Abasa. Uzlifat. We said Uzlifat means something to be brought near. But Uzlifat has an extra meaning to this. Because what shares the same meaning is Qurribat. Why doesn't Allah say Qurribat? وَإِذَا الْجَنَّةُ Qurribat. Qurribat also means to be brought forth and brought near. But Allah said Uzlifat. So what's the difference between Uzlifat and Qurribat? Well, Uzlifat comes from the word Zulf, Zalafa. Zalafa means a great portion of something. Also means a high status. A high status. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He described Sulaiman alayhi salam, He said, وَإِنَّهُ عِنْدَنَا لَزُلْفَى وَحُسْنَ مَآبٍ. Sulaiman alayhi salam, to us, to Allah azza wa jal, He's in a high status. لَزُلْفَى. He's in a high status. And so Muzdalifa also was called Muzdalifa, which comes from the word Zalafa, because it's close. It's called the close by. Why? Because it's close to Mina, it's close to Allah Azza wa Jalla, it brings you close to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, it brings you closer to nature, you know, it brings you closer to the understanding of the Day of Judgment, when everyone is sleeping on the ground, and when everyone is in white, you know, and you're only seeing the stars, the day, the night. Close, it's got the meaning of close. Everything in Muzdalifa is close. You know, even the bathroom. You see, for those that have been to Muzdalifa, subhanAllah, every single thing in Muzdalifa is close. The food, you bring it from Arafat, when you come down to Muzdalifa, it's close to you. The buses and the street is close. Even now in the times that they have upgraded, everything is close. And that's why it was called Muzdalifa. But the purpose of Muzdalifa is that at the end you should be brought closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said Zulfa also means an honor. So Muzdalifa was called Muzdalifa because when you're there, you're really honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an honor from Allah upon you that you're in Muzdalifa on that night. Don't think of it as, what is this? You know, the dust and the fume coming from everywhere, and the traffic with the toilets, and this, this where you are is because Allah honored you, so you're there. So it was called Muzdalifa. Subhanallah, what an honor. So, izdilaf means something that's brought close, and it's a means of honoring someone. So when we read وَإِذَا الْجَنَّةُ أُزْلِفَتْ, we understand that the paradise has been brought forth as an honor for the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment honors the believers by bringing the paradise close. That's the meaning that Uzlifat gives us. Brought near as a result of Allah azza wa jalla's honor to the believers. Subhanallah. All these ayat, even you know, I just share with you a hadith of Sulaiman ibn Musa. He says in a hadith, Izdalifu ila Allahi bi rak'atayn. What a beautiful hadith. He says, honor yourself by getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through performing two rak'at. He said, Izdalifu. You know, honor yourself. Bring yourself closer to Allah. Honor yourself by performing two rak'at. Now, all these ayat, as we said, were the condition part, which is known to as referred to in Arabic as al-jumla shartiya, the condition. When this happens, and all this when needs a conclusion. It needs a concluding remark, a concluding statement. Just like we said, when you say, when I get home, you end your sentence. So Allah Azza wa Jalla now in this ayah, He concludes. When? What happens when? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, such a powerful ayah. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ. Each and every single person, every individual will know what they have brought forth, what it has to present of good and bad. And this is understood with every condition. So it's إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوَّرَتْ عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ انْكَدَرَتْ عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ. On that day, when these events unfold, every single person will know what they have presented. Subhanallah, you know, it's just like, say for example, you walk in an exam. You haven't studied, you haven't prepared for it, you just walk in. And you set the exam and you walk out. Result day, you know you failed. You know you've done no preparation, no study. You already know your fail's coming. This is alimat. Allah says alimat. You'll know. You'll know. Subhanallah, Allah says kafa bi nafsika al-yawma alayka hasiba. You know, on the day of judgment, in this world, the criminal, he has people that witness against him. So the criminal in court, and you got these witnesses that will witness against the criminal. Yeah, he did so and so. But on that day, because there's a total reverse, you will be a witness against yourself. You know, witnesses required. Allah says, اقرأ كتابك. Read your book. كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. Sufficient. Yourself. You are a witness amongst or against yourself on that day. That's kafa bi nafsika al-yawma alayka hasiba. Subhanallah. So Allah says, alimat nafsum ma ahbarat. Yani, what's also beautiful in this ayah is that it also connects to the surah before. In the surah before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لكل امرئ منهم يوم إذن وشأن يغني. For every person on that day, there will be a matter in which he'll be preoccupied with. What is he preoccupied with? Yeah. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسُ مَا أَحْبَرَ. You're preoccupied thinking about what you did. This is what you're preoccupied with. Subhanallah, Surah Abasa is all questions. You can't read Surah Abasa and say you understood. You need to read this surah. This surah gives you the perfect understanding of Surah Abasa. And so on in all the Quran. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسُ مَا أَحْبَرَ. This is the thing that will make you preoccupied on that day. And عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْبَرَتْ. Subhanallah, the Qur'an is all connected. You know this, you won't understand it up until you study the surah that's after it. Surah Al-Infitar. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ. Allah there says, علمت نفس ما قدمت وأخرت. As a tafsir of ما أحبرت. What's ما أحبرت? What it presented forth. What did it present forth? The tafsir comes in the surah after it, which is علمت نفس ما قدمت وأخرت. قدمت means what you presented forth in this life as you're alive, and أخرت means what you left of traces of bad and of good after you die. That's what akharat. So this is all continual. Continual reward or continual punishment. It is all counting and keeps counting up until that day. Subhanallah. طيب. يعني, do we have any questions in relation to what we discussed of the ayat so far? Anyone have a question with these ayat or the ayat before? We shall conclude inshallah with this ayat, because the passage that's coming after, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالْخُنَّسِ الْجَوَالِ الْكُنَّسِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He takes an oath by the planets that disappear during the day and during the night. And this subhanallah, it's amazing. It's amazing to read this oath, and we'll inshallah study the response of this oath and how the object and the subject come to one another. For inshallah, as we said, we'll leave the remaining passage of Surah Al-Takwir to next lesson, inshallah. And subhanallah, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالْخُنَّسِ أَلْجَوَارِ الْكُنَّسِ. This is now Allah Azza wa Jal is going to address the issue of al-risal, revelation, that was sent down upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we'll share that next week, and we'll also share the connection between all this when, either, to فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالْخُنَّسِ. What's all these events that Allah Azza wa Jal, He recalls and He records, what's all this got to do with فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالْخُنَّسِ and this oath that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes? طيب, just before we conclude, out of the enjoyment and the excitement I've had for the past 3 days, I wanted to share something with you, subhanallah. You see the lessons that we do, and I upload, obviously I upload on the YouTube. Subhanallah, 3 days ago, we had a Christian female that came here because she saw the address of the lessons and all this. And she came and she took shahada here in the Musalla. Subhanallah, يعني this made me very happy. Firstly, يعني, the lessons, I keep saying, يعني, share the good. Don't keep the good to yourself. Share it, you know. And at the beginning I was a bit, يعني, half, should I put this on the net, should I not leave it? But then I thought, it's Quran, it's the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is supposed to be spread. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He described this Quran in Surah At-Tur. He said, فِي رَقٍ مَنْشُورٍ. It's in scrolls that are spread out, that are spread open. So why should you enclose it? And why should you limit it to the Muslim community? Open it up. For apparently somehow one of you, one of the ones that are on Facebook, decided to share the link anyway. It went around up until it got to her. And it reads in the beginning of the lessons with the addresses. And eventually she found herself here, and she found herself guided to Islam. Spoke a few words, there was a matter of few words, and يعني, she took shahada, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Make dua for her that Allah Azza wa Jal makes her steadfast on this iman. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people of the Quran. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a deeper understanding of the Quran, to make us people who benefit from the reminders of the Quran. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.